Here's a question. I have been hearing classes on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by one person who is repeatedly emphasizing that the jiva does not have bhakti inherently, but it is received by the Guru and Krishna only. The first time this is brought up is in the commentary of Jiva Goswami on verse 11 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This understanding is quite different to what I have always heard, but this speaker quotes a number of Shastric evidences to support his position. So my question is, what is the Shastric evidence for establishing that bhakti is inherent within the soul, that the soul is covered by the influence of maya, and that it is by the grace of Guru and Krishna only that the covering, the maya covering, I suppose, is removed and allows the inherent bhakti to shine forth in its full glory? And this is a question. Because I've also heard those tapes, some of those tapes, and it's very convincingly stated there, and even the questions are asked by the people in the audience, well, we heard differently, and he said, and he flatly denies the possibility of anything but that the soul is eternality, sat. But if you listen, if you hear some Bhagavatam classes by the same speaker, you'll hear where he says that the living entity, there's some like, there's not some consistency, there's not there. Although I dare to challenge such a person. But, and I'd also like to hear you, you know, inquire from realized sources here what their viewpoint is. But Darren, he says that the jiva, because they're asking about, then it, how is it possible if the jiva is only, he's only a principle of sat, or eternality, how does he have the ability to acquire any type of knowledge, or any type of feelings, or any type of emotions? And then at that time, at that juncture in the course of delivery, he's saying, yes, the jiva has the, every jiva, this is just any jiva without connection with parampara, has the capacity to receive knowledge and to receive feelings or develop feelings. So when I heard that, and I said, well, wait a minute, there seems to be, there's different interpretations given to these verses, but I've collected some information that I think I'll present, and then we can, in the middle of it, discuss. Of course, I am following a line coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. And they are fairly scholastic individuals there and done a lot of deep study of Shastra. And there's one very important book that's been compiled or written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But this edition I have, which is an old Gaudiya Math edition, he quotes all kinds of shlokas here and then sometimes his own discussion and shlokas. And it's not telling exactly, sometimes it's mentioned this from this Katha Upanishad or that place, he's citing the Shastric reference, many times not. But he's making some very important points, which I've extracted here and I'll read in a summary way. But the title of the book is, there's actually three books in one, but they're all similar. Tattva Vivek, Tattva Sutra, and Amnaya Sutra. This is... I think maybe Narayan Raj has printed Tattva Vivek in English in a more recent edition. This is three in one. Tattva Vivek, Tattva Sutra, Amnaya Sutra. But there, what he's saying is that, and he quotes a verse, he mentions sometimes verses, the presence of pure knowledge, in other words, he's saying the idea that pure knowledge, or what is actually the chit shakti, not sat, because there's no knowledge in sat, it's only eternality. But the presence of pure knowledge in the jiva is explained in the Katha Upanishad, and he has a verse there, yada panchavatishtante janani manasa saha. It's in Hindi, I just wrote one line, because I'm slow. But that he mentioned, that's what he's mentioning. Now the rest appears to be his own words, but oftentimes it's all, everywhere it's his words and so many shlokas here and there. But at any rate, this is because for me he's my Mahajanacharya, Sampradayak Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he's saying the formal transformation which technically is called Sarupa Parivartan, of the jiva is observed in a state of bondage. The love-natured inclination of the soul also undergoes perversion in a state of bondage. This is Sutra 17, verse 106. Because he's saying, his arguments, he's saying that knowledge and inclination to love are eternally part and parcel of the jiva, which is quite contrary to what you heard. Mm-hmm. So now, and so he says the love-natured inclination of the soul also undergoes perversion or transformation in a state of bondage. Love towards the Supreme Lord is the natural inclination of the jivas. This natural relationship between the Atma and the Supreme Lord is like the attraction of iron to a magnet. A piece of iron, they go. The jiva soul is naturally related to the Supreme Lord by a tie of love. The material attachments of the embodied soul, or conditioned soul, is a perverted state of divine love. He gives a whole explanation of that. The one singular inclination of the jiva soul gets transformed into various forms of material attachment. For example, in other words, the jiva, the ladini aspect of the jiva, which can be called anand shakti, such an anand, the anand feature of the jiva, which is the ability to love or to feel, or the inclination to love God, which is primordial and eternal, he's saying. When that such an anand jiva atma is mixed up with the material body and this conditional state and bondage, then that primordial inclination to love the One, to love God, gets splayed over many objects of attachment that are provided in this material world. So the attachment to money, in other words, that one love, when it's expressed as attached to money, that love is called greed. And that one divine love, when it's attached to the body of a man or woman, that's called lust. And that one love, that divine love, inclination of God, when it's directed towards attachment to brothers, sisters, and relatives, is called affection, or family affection. So then he has many arguments, but I just brought out these. And then, if you look in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 15, verse 7, Krishna is saying, Mamai Vamsho Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana. Mamai Vamsho Jivaloke. He says that the sanatana, the jiva, of course the main point of this verse is that the jiva is eternal. I didn't write the translation here, I just, the living entities are eternally constitutional parts and parcels of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada's translation, we can see, Mavevamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, manashastani indriani, prakritistani karshati. The living entities, jiva, in this conditioned world, loke, are my eternal fragmental parts, mama vamsha means part. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling with the six senses, which includes the mind, prakriti stani karshati, because they're standing in this prakriti stani karshati, they're struggling with the shastindriya, six senses. So this, at least in terms of Nayana logic, generally if you have an effect, you have an effect somewhere, then the effect, whatever in the effect must be in the cause. This is the general logic. So Krishna, if we are Amsha of Krishna, and if he is such an Ananda, then the jiva must be qualitatively, which is, as you've been hearing, and I've been hearing, we are qualitatively one with the Lord, achintya beda abeda tattva. We are one in a sense, we are also Satchitananda, but we are Anu, we are atomic, and the Lord is Vibhu. He is great, vast, large, unlimited quantity of eternality, an unlimited quantity of bliss, an unlimited quantity of chit or knowledge. And we have a minute amount. And so this is one point. And now, the most significant in terms of point of argument is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because here is where we find two verses, which is one you mentioned in your question, and how the whole context, because whenever we're studying philosophy, we can't just take one verse and try to extrapolate all kinds of meanings from one verse, although that's also can be done, but the whole thrust of the argument being presented by the Mahajan or by the Lord must be considered in totality to derive the proper conclusion or Siddhanta, Tattva Siddhanta. So in this particular section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Madhya Lila chapter 22. This is what is commonly known as Sanatan Shiksha. This is wherein Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving important teachings to Sanatana Goswami regarding Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya, and Prayojan, which is the underpinning of Gaudiya Vedanta. So in this particular junction, he's discussing, leading up into this, verses that we're going to, the verses we're going to discuss are chapter 20, Madhya Lila chapter 22. The section is verse 104 to 150. In this section, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing specifically sadhana bhakti to Sanatana Goswami. And we'll read a few verses. But he's leading up to that, he's talking about surrender and how Krishna is very merciful and kind to his devotees if they surrender. That's his nature, to be kind. Then he talks that there's different types of surrender. And we'll start with verse 104, because this is where he's kind of changing the topic. He was talking about Sharanagati and surrender. Now he's saying 104, Madhya Lila 22. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eve sadhana bhakti lakshana shuna sanatan yaha hoite pai krishna prema mahadan. Translation, my dear Sanatan, please hear from me about the regulative principles for executing devotional service. So here he's saying sadhana bhakti lakshan. He's talking about sadhana bhakti. He's not talking about bhava bhakti or prema bhakti. He's talking about sadhana. If you just look at the Bengali. Ebe sadhana bhakti lakshan shuna sanatan. Yaha haite pai krishna prema mahadan. He says this mahadan, this most valuable treasure, krishna prema, pai, one can get. Anyone can see it's very straightforward Bengali. Because sometimes people take issue with the translations of the Bengali, which is fine. Translators have their license to present it in different ways for their audience. My dear Sanatan, now please hear about the regulative principles for executing devotional service. By this process, sadhana bhakti, one can attain the highest perfection of love of Godhead, which is the most desirable treasure. Now this is a verse which is included in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first wave, chapter 2, verse 2. And then this is by Rupa Goswami. Now there's a following verse by Krishna's Kaviraj, and these two verses go together, and they're also somewhat controversial because different acharyas give different interpretations and translations. But our Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Sanatana Srila Prabhupada, they present it like this. So this is the verse from Nectar Devotion, which is 105. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasad sananadvida nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam riti sadhyata. When transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. So this phrase, nitya siddha bhav. You know, some people will say that this nitya siddha bhav means it's with the nitya siddhas. This bhav is with the nitya siddhas, and it's not with the jiva. But if we take this whole discussion in context, now we're just talking, because this whole discussion is leading, if we're talking about the contextual presentation here to Sanatana Goswami, this is a discussion about sadhana bhakti. And so there's no discussion here about nitya parishads. You follow what I'm saying? So because people take this verse like this and say, nitya siddha here means the nitya siddhas. But this bhava is with the nitya siddhas. So, you know, it's the devil quoting scripture. I mean, this is, of course, our viewpoint. We have to represent, because I have lined my faith up over here, so I have to make my statement. But it's fine if you take it isolated from the context and you can get any number of meanings out of it. That's what Gita is all about. Mayavadis take one verse from Gita and present a whole Mayavadi philosophy. So this is not the correct way of darshan. And the preliminary verses of this chapter is nice. You can read 10 or 15 verses before this. It's all about this Sharanagati, and it's all about, you know, the jivas coming to God and God's affectionate nature. And there's no discussion here about parishads or nityasiddhas or the. So how is, if you just follow the trend of the discussion, it appears that this presentation or translation here is more consonant with the flow of the teaching Lord Chaitanya is giving, more chaste, I would like to say. So then, when the translation, oh, I read that, I suppose. When transcendental devotional service, by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Sadhya bhav, kriti sadhya, bhavet sadhya bhav. Such devotion eternally exists, nitya siddhasya bhavasya, in the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is a potentiality of devotional service and practice. Because before this whole discussion, leading up to this, the Lord is talking about the living entities. He's talking about Krishna's nature and the approach, how the living entity surrenders. Now he's continuing to tell about the living entity. This is some of his lakshana, his characteristic. As it says here, sadhana bhakti lakshan. So when you're talking about sadhana bhakti lakshan, you have to say the characteristics of the bhakti itself and the characteristics of the practitioner of bhakti. Who's going to what are the characteristics of the person who's going to practice sadhana bhakti? Because it takes two. There's the activity of sadhana bhakti, but there's the sadhak also. Then the next verse, 106 and Madhya 22. Shravan adi kriya tara sarup lakshan tatastat lakshane upajai prema dan. It says, the spiritual activities of hearing, chanting, remembering, and so forth are the natural characteristics of devotional service. I mean, the primary shravanadi kriya means doing the actions beginning with shravanadi. These are stroke lakshana. Because he's talking about bhakti sadhana. There's a whole discussion, every verse that, because he says, now Sanatana, I'm going to tell you about sadhana bhakti. So that means everything here is this, you know what I'm saying? This is your Roman numeral one on your outline sheet, sadhana bhakti. You know, the definition, the practitioner. So these are all the sub points. But he's a very systematic preacher, Lord Chaitanya. This is a very systematic book. But when you take this out, say, this verse means this. I don't appreciate that. Shravanadi kriya tara surup lakshana tatastha lakshana upajai. So this is the main, bhakti means this. This is what bhakti means. It means that the actions, kriya means actions or movements or activities, begins with shravanam. And this is the main thing. To hear about Krishna. And that goes on here and chant and remember. That goes on here, there, everywhere. Now, incidentally, if you're at the level of sadhana bhakti, then this activity, which is bhakti itself, the tatastha lakshana, the secondary characteristic, is that this upajai, it will awaken premadan, love of God. And the word is upajai. And you can ask anyone what upajai means. It means you can't awaken someone who's not sleeping. So if you want to awaken someone, they have to be sleeping. It means they're already there. Of course, every word in this context, in this presentation, is significant and important. So the secondary characteristic of this bhakti, we're talking about sadhana bhakti lakshan, and these are the kriyas, these are the actions of sadhana bhakti, and it's the first thing, it begins with shravan, hearing. That's the main, and that's swarup, that's the main thing. It's all based here, there, everywhere in the material world at the level of sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti, prema bhakti and perfection. We're always hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. But at this level of sadhana, if one is at the level of sadhana bhakti, which I'm describing to you, Sanatan, if he takes part in this swarup lakshana of bhakti, hearing and chanting, do you know what will happen? Upajai. It will awaken or make rise upajai, prema dan. This wealth will come. In who? In the sadhana, in the sadhak. Because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the sadhak, the beginner. This is the beginning. Adi, beginning. Then the next verse, which Krishna's Kaviraj is echoing the same teaching of Rupa, and Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya. And this is another verse which is, what, you know, the Pandora's box, right? You know that phrase. Can of worms, whatever. This is text 107 from Madhya Lila chapter 22. And this is, on the basis of their familiarity with this verse, the students in this pravachan that you're listening to, they're asking these questions. And he's just shooting them all down. Because I've heard the same thing. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Nai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaya Udai. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of living entities. So when we say pure love, this means Ladini. Sachidanand, Anand, the whole Anand, Ladini, love, this is all functioning on this level. Existence, identity, placement, everything, that's all Sandini or Sat. And then cognizance, awareness, knowledge, perception, that's all chit. And that's the Atma has these features, Satchitananda. So I don't know what I can say. I just, basically, and I'll read some other points too. But I just wanted to present what's being said here. You can read yourself, you can take these points and discuss with your well-wishers and your teachers. And then maybe you can share with me whatever you receive, because I'm also a student. I'm not pretending to be a PhD in anything. If I'm a PhD, it just means piled higher and deeper in illusion. Because when I was in university, I have an MBBS in allopathic medicine, which doesn't mean it's not a PhD, it's far from PhD. But we used to joke, because a lot of our friends would get PhD, and we said, yes, you're going for PhD, you'll become piled higher and deeper in useless subjects and knowledge. Not to mock or anything, but at any rate, I'm not very learned, but I'm just repeating what I see here and how my gurus presented it. I neglected to read Prabhupada's purport. This is the purport to 105. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, with Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya, Bhava Sad Sananan Bida, Nitya Siddhasya Bhavasya, Prakatya Mridi Sadhyata. Srila Prabhupada says, because living entities, jivatmas, are minute, atomic parts and parcels of the Lord, devotional service is already present within them in a dormant condition. This didn't go over too good with the person that you're talking about. Devotional service begins with Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. When a man is sleeping, he can be awakened by sound vibration. Therefore, every conditioned soul should be given the chance to hear the Hare Krishna mantra chanted by a pure Vaishnava. One who hears the Hare Krishna mantra thus vibrated by a pure Vaishnava is awakened to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. In this way, one's mind gradually becomes purified, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. That's also an interesting reference also, to think about what that means. The cleansing of the consciousness, and then how, because he's saying there's sevenfold benefits of the holy name, non-sankirtan. So he's saying, first thing he's saying, that this holy name will cleanse the consciousness. And when the consciousness is cleansed, then all these wonderful things happen, which are not expressions of sat. If you look at, you know, it says bathing the atma, experiencing ecstasy. How can you anandam buddhi vardhanam experience ecstasy if you're only sat? Because there's no duality in sat. There's no happiness, there's no feelings. And he himself says all this stuff. Nature of sat, nature...
Cleanses
duality. As soon as you say cleanse the consciousness, it means there's consciousness, that means the consciousness. And what is the consciousness? Consciousness means chit. Chit Shakti. It says Chaito Darpana Marjanam, the first verse. It doesn't say Sat Marjanam. As if the Atma is only Sat, which is the contention, and there's no Chit or Ananda feature in the Atma, it's only a particle of eternality, that it's not a conscious unit or part of the Lord, then how can Lord Chaitanya say Chaito Darpana Marjanam? You don't have any Chit. There's nothing to cleanse, because you're Brahman, so Brahman is nothing to cleanse there. And then if you're only If you're only sat, then how can you have all these experiences of anandam buddhi vardhanam? Ananda, anandam buddhi, you have to have ananda, that ananda must be part of you to expand into an ocean. Due to being, it's there, and when you're cleansed, then you enter it. These seven benefits of the holy name indicate that the Atma has some ability to experience bliss. Anandam buddhi vardhanam, sarvatma snapanam. The entire Atma becomes bathed. Well, if the Atma is only sat, eternal feature, and there's no chitta and ananda, then what's getting bathed? You can't bathe Brahman. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I'm glad we're discussing it because it's recording also. So, Prabhupada's purport on this 105 from Madhya 22, which is Nectar Devotion, because he's taking off on this word about being a prakatya, manifest or awakened. When the mind is purified, the senses are also purified. Instead of using the senses for sense gratification, the awakened devotee employs the senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the process by which dormant love for Krishna is awakened. And then that verse we mentioned, Nityasiddha Krishna Prema Siddha Kavunai. And then he says, 108, Mahabhu tells Sanatana Goswami, Eta sarana bhakti duita prakar, eka vaidi bhakti raganuga bhakti are. So now he's discussed about sadhana bhakti and these aspects of sadhana bhakti, that this will happen and this is within you. And then he says there are two processes of this sadhana bhakti or practical devotional service. One is regulative devotional service. Vaidhi means you follow the vidhi, yama niyama, rules and regulations. And the other is spontaneous devotional service or raganuga bhakti. Rag, now he's going to describe rag. Rag hina jana bhaje shastra agyaya, vaidhi bhakti balitare sarva shastra gaya. Rag hina jana, those people, hina, without, they don't have rag, don't have attachment or attraction to Krishna. Bhaje shastra agya, they follow agya. Shastra Agya, they follow the order of the Shastra. Vaidhi Bhakti Bali Sarva Shastra. So he says, those who have not attained the platform of spontaneous attachment, or Rag Bhakti, they render devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master according to the regulative principles mentioned in revealed scriptures. According to revealed scriptures, this kind of devotional service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Now he quotes a verse from Bhagavatam. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Harir Ishvaraha Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyash Chechatavayam. This is from Second Canto of Bhagavatam, verse 5, chapter 1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma, is the supreme controller and always removes the miseries of living entities. He must be always heard about from reliable sources, and he must be glorified and remembered by one who wishes to become fearless. So then there's some more different points. We should always remember Vishnu, and this is the main vidhi. He talks a little bit about vaidhi sadhana. The main thing is always remember Krishna, never forget him. Smartavyasa Tadam Vishnur. Then he says, now I'll tell you about the basic essential practices. Then he describes the 64 limbs of bhakti. So this is the discussion here. Now I want to read one verse here. This is in Madhya Lila chapter 24, which is a little bit, this is also Sanatana Shiksha. I thought it was an interesting verse, 201. Along this discussion. This is chapter 24, verse 201. I think I might think wrong. Yes, 201. And this again is Mahaprabhu speaking to Sanatana Goswami. In verse 201 of chapter 24, Sanatana Shiksha. He says, Jivera Subhava Krishna Dasa Abhiman Dehe Atma Gyane Achadita Se Gyan. Jivera Subhava. Subhava means the nature. The original nature of every living entity is to consider himself the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Subhav Krishna Das Abhiman. Now how does Brahman have cognition? Brahman has no cognition. Brahman is existence. Cognition means chit. And then if you have the idea of servant, then you're talking about bhakti, which means anand. If you have this abhiman, if you think you're a servant, it means that you serve someone. Serving is an expression of love, bhakti, bliss. Jivera Subhav Krishna Das Abhiman Dehi Atma Gyane Achadita Se Gyan. But under the influence of Maya, he thinks himself to be the body, and thus his original consciousness is covered. This word is very important, a very, very important word. You can even discuss these verses with your realized gurus. Achadita. What is the meaning of Dehe Atma Gyan Achadita Se Gyan? So he's saying here that Dehe, the material body, the Atma Gyan, the conception of the self, is Achadita, covered. Se Gyan, the knowledge, that original knowledge or consciousness. So due to the, because we're anuchit, like we say, vibhu chaitanya, right? We say vibhu chaitanya, this is the great living force. So we're anuchit, anusat, we're very atomic, we're very small, so because of our minute size we can be covered. That's the whole principle of Maya. We're covered by the Maya, we're covered by this body. Dehi atmagyan acharita. Our atmagyan, our knowledge of ourself, that what am I? What is part of that knowledge? I am Krishnadas. Krishnadas Abhiman. That Abhiman, that conception, Abhiman, that mentality, that conception, is covered by what? By the body, by ignorance. But this is my Subhav. This is my nature. No Subhav. It's nature. Jivera Subhav, Krishnadas Abhiman. Dehi Atmagyane Achadita Segyan. So I thought this was a very interesting verse. This is a whole context of Sambandhagyan given by Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. Now, along that same line about this Jivera Subhav Krishnadas Abhiman, now we're going to discuss Rupa Shiksha, which was given to Rupa Goswami. And this is chapter 20 of Madhya Lila. This is 107. Because in other words, this is like Lord Chaitanya would present his arguments and counter-arguments. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. So we're presenting what we consider to be some valid points here, which we believe in and follow from whatever our limited understanding is that we receive from our guru. And this is chapter 20, Lord Chaitanya's Divine Instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami. And he introduces this by saying, Mahabhu is saying, you are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service, Bhakti Pravartan. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you them. This is verse 107. Mahabhu is speaking to Rupa Goswami. Krame sabha tattva shuna kariyat tamate. Krame means a sequence, bhajan kram. Sequence of bhajan, first guru bhajan, then nitai bhajan, gaur bhajan, radha bhajan. They have like this bhajan krama. Krame sabha tattva. I will tell you all the truths, Rupa Goswami, in sequence. Krame sab tattva shuna. You listen, please listen to sab tattva, all the truths, all the spiritual truths, in krame, in succession. Now this is the first thing I want to tell you. Are you listening, Sanatana? I mean, Rupa? Jivera Sorupaya Krishnara Nityadas. Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. Suryamshu Kirana Yaiche Agni Jwala Chai So bhavika krishnera tina prakara shakti hai. This is verse 108 and 109. This, everyone's, I think, heard this verse, at least part of it. Jivara Swarupaya Krishnara Nityadas. Have you heard that? Jivara Swarup. The Swarup of the Jiva, the Atma, is Krishna Das. So how can, if your Swarup of the Atma is Sat, then where is the question of, there's all one. How can there be master and servant? How can there be awareness? How can there be awareness of two, master and servant? There's only one. Brahman. I am Brahman. Krishnera tatasta shakti beta beta prakash. It is a living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna because he is the marginal potency of Krishna. Krishna tatasta shakti and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. Beta beta prakash. Then the analogy is given. Like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire, Krishna has three varieties of energy. Surya, Amsha. In other words, a ray of sun has everything that the sun has in it. It has light, it has heat, it has whatever elements are there. Kiran. Surya, Amsha, Kiran. Agni, Jwala, Chai. So Bhavika, Krishna, Ratina, Prakara, Shakti, Hai. Prabhupada's purport, just to hear from our guru. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses as follows, because apparently he's quoting his tika. Sanatana Goswami asked Mahaprabhu, which was mentioned earlier in Bengali, Kayami Tapatraya, who am I? Why am I suffering from the threefold miseries? Tapatraya, tap means fire, miseries. Adiyatmika klesh, adibhautika klesh, adidevika klesh, the miseries. In answer to that question, Mahaprabhu answered, you are a pure living entity. You are neither the gross material body nor the subtle body composed of mind and intelligence. Actually, you are a spirit soul, eternally part and parcel of the supreme soul, Krishna. Therefore, you are his eternal servant. You belong to Krishna's marginal potency. There are two worlds, the spiritual and material, and you are situated between both, the spiritual and material potencies. You have a relationship with both the material and spiritual worlds. World. Therefore, you are called the marginal potency. You are related with Krishna and as one and simultaneously different. Because you are spirit soul, you are one in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are a very minute particle of spirit, anuchit or anuchaitanya, you are a very minute particle of spirit soul, you are different from the Supreme Soul. Therefore, your position is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Soul. Examples given are those of the sun itself and the small particles of sunshine, end of a blazing fire and a small spark. And then it goes on like this. You can read that. I was just citing that rather famous verse to indicate that this is a very sarup, that you don't, this is us. This is what he's saying. This is a sarup. This is not getting, this is later the sarup, or you get this later, now you're just Brahman, and then later you'll get, they'll latch onto you some chit and anand. There's one other verse that mentions here. This is Adi Lila. That's pretty good. Open to the chapter. This is chapter 7 and verse 116. You gave me homework. You got me. One way or another, you got me. You made me do my homework. I saw that other one. I don't know if I ever did that one. Sometimes I didn't do some of my homework. This is 116 from chapter 7. This just follows the same line of thought as the other one. Previous verse. Ishvara tattva yena jwalita jwalan jivara sarupa yaiche spulingira kana. The Lord is like a great blazing fire, and the living entities are like small sparks of that fire. So this is, and the purport is there, basically there's a oneness in quality between the jiva and the Lord, but difference in quantity, that he is Satchidananda and we are Satchidananda eternally. So that you can read that purport, it's a rather long purport. And then there's another verse that's very important in this line, which you've probably heard so many times. The Prabhupada quotes, and this is from the Katha Upanishad. This is it's in Prabhupada's book also. Nityo Nityananam, he says, Nityo Nityananam, Chaitanash Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam Yovidadati Kaman, Tamatmastam Ye Nupashanti, Diras Tesham, Shanti Shashvati, Netaresham. Usually we hear the first line all the time. Nityo Nityananam, Chaitanash Chaitananam. The jivas are completely dependent on God. This is Katha Upanishad, part 2, chapter 2, verse 13. Among innumerable eternal conscious beings, there is one supreme being who fulfills the desired necessities of the many. Only those contemplative persons who perceive that the Supreme Lord, who perceive that Supreme Lord within their hearts through the transcendental direction of Guru Parampara can attain perpetual peace. Usually we don't hear the last part. But the point is, he says, Nityo Nityananam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. He's saying that there's so many eternals. God is eternal and the jiva is also eternal. God has chaitana. Chaitana means chit, consciousness. He's a conscious being. He is a supreme conscious being, and the living entities, the jivas, are also conscious beings. So consciousness. Conscious means chit, not sat. Nityo means sat. Nityo Nityananam means sat feature. But when you say chaitana is chaitananam, that means chit feature. And then when you say eko pahunam yovidadati kaman, then when you say that this one, eko, Bahonam Vidadati Kaman. Vidadati means he supplies, he fulfills the desires of the many. Eko Bahonam Vidadati Kaman. If when you say desires, then it means ananda, the ability to desire, to love, to feel. This implies ananda. So this verse from Katha Upanishad indicates that the jivas have sat feature, nityo nityananam, have chit feature, chaitanas chaitananam, and they have the ananda feature, ladni feature, because they have desire. Brahman doesn't have desire. Then there's another verse from Prameya Ratnavali, chapter 4, verse 5. This is by Baladevi Dibhushan. Ekasma Rishwaran Nityach Chaitanat Tadrisha Mita Vidyante Na Bahavo Jivas Tena Veda Sanatana. Prema Ratnavali, 4-5. This verse explains that the many eternal and conscious jivas, conscious, are manifest from one eternal conscious Supreme Lord, and thus they are mutually distinct. Therefore the jivas are existent separately from Ishvara from time immemorial. This is the Siddhanta, philosophical conclusion. So this is Baladevi Dibhushan. It's called Prameya Ratnavali, or Ratnavali actually. Ratna means jewel and Vali means a series of jewel-like evidence. Prameya, chapter 4, verse 5. And then, this is the conclusion, which is also echoed in the, or mentioned, and Jiva Dharma, at least conclusion. I mean, I didn't have much time yesterday. I did a little bit what I could this morning to collect a few points. But if you go on folio and look up this verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, you see so many things that Prabhupada says and everyone says that the ability to love God is in our heart and we have to bring it out, and because we, otherwise there would be no chance for us if it wasn't And this is what it's told there. This is Mandalila chapter 9. This is verse 194. This is an interesting translation here. This is the verse, this is a reference. There's kind of more clear understanding. We can read both. This translation, this verse book is quite good. Okay, this is chapter 9. Madhulila. Aprakriti vastu nahi prakriti gochara vedi puraneti e kahi nirantara. The Vedas and Puranas always assert that spiritual substance can never be comprehended by the mundane senses. Aprakriti vastu. In other words, these atma, the jivatma, is actually aprakriti. It's not material. But yet our faculties for understanding or perceiving, our mind is material, our intelligence is material, our reasoning power is material, our logic power is material, all of our experience is material, and all of our sense, our knowledge acquiring senses and our working senses are material. So collecting all these material faculties and trying to understand the transcendent reality of the jivatma is a little difficult. That's why different acharyas have different viewpoints, which we've been hearing on tapes or in this book or whatever. And then Jiva Dharma, in the first few chapters discussing Jiva Tattva, and the guru says to the disciple, actually I appreciate your questions, because they asked many questions about the jiva there. And he says, well, you should understand that until one comes to the point of actually Atma Tattva Gyan, he actually becomes self-realized, realizes his soul, he can't really understand these topics. Because here it says, Aprakrita vastu nahi prakrita gochara. Gochara means jurisdiction. In other words, material can understand spirit. Ved paran e kai nirantara. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and the Puranas. Nirantara. Without end, they say this, that it's ultimately the answer to these questions is a matter of individual perception, realization, and faith. And of course it may change as our perception changes, but the realized souls whom we follow and have accepted as our well-wishers and mahajans are seeing this spiritual reality of the jiva and his constitutional identity as Satchidananda in a particular way, and so being rather finite and foolish, we are accepting their viewpoint and following them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains in Jiva Dharma chapter 22, in relation to this verse, Madhulila chapter 9, 194, gives some commentary. Aprakrita vastu nahi prakrita gochara vedi paraneti e kahi nirantara. Krishna is the supreme object, and his sarup can only be known through the all-enlightening propensities of sarup shakti, and not by the mental faculty of the marginal jivas. When a sarup shakti manifests herself within the heart of the jiva, which happens at the last stage of bhava bhakti, by the mercy of Krishna or of his pure devotee, then the cognitive faculty, samvit vritti, of the sarup shakti begins to act within the heart. When that happens, knowledge of the spiritual realm, chit jagat, is revealed. So the real understanding and answer to these questions will come at the point of revelation. It's revelation. So from our unrealized viewpoint, we have to find some concepts and some people that we believe in, and invest our time and faith there and progress. along the line of sadhana and see how we individually realize and perceive these topics ourselves. So at this juncture in time, at least for the last 30 some years, I'm following this viewpoint. It sits well with me, and I feel encouraged in my devotion by this presentation of my acharya's well-wishers. And when I heard that presentation that you also heard, I was a little disturbed.
I was disturbed.
Oh,
you was disturbed, yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying I, you didn't hear me. I was disturbed.
I mean, I know very little, and this person is very scholarly, right? But my immediate thought, but hang on, it's such ananda. And the only place that you can get real ananda from is from the But then I think, well, that's such a basic concept. He obviously knows such a ananda. But still, you know, I can't swallow that part. I can't swallow it. It's very scholarly in other words, but this part I just can't swallow. And, I mean, he mentions, I just listened to the first CD, and he mentions it in a number of places.
Brihad Bhagavatamrita also.
Okay. In his own,
I've heard about 60 and so on.
Okay. But it's for his own logic. Right? And
that's another.
Actually, logic is not the conclusion. It's,
yeah, there's some apparent. I mean, anyway, that's. I can't disagree with that. But I would like you could also, because these are philosophical points.
Yeah.
And there are many realized acharyas here at Radhakund, and you are aware of them. So if you have time to enter any dialogue, if they want to, it's kind of generally the acharyas here in this part of the woods, they don't so much favor such discussions.
Yeah, well, I did ask one, and it wasn't the Prabhupada time, but it was the Prabhupada time, actually. He was very desirous of writing, and he just quickly said the same thing. That the soul is covered by Maya due to Venus's Adi, and by the mercy of Guru and Mahaprabhu, then the covering is taken off. And I asked him, well, what does it mean that the covering is taken off? And he said, it's like by the mercy of Guru, one comes from nescience into knowledge. You know, so into the lightness, into the brightness. He's of the same opinion as what you were saying today. And this was my initial response when I heard it. You know,
Ananda. Yeah, if I want to... Yeah, I can say more if you like. Because I want to kind of synthesize, at this juncture, I want to synthesize both ideas, because our nature... Let's take on this tack that our nature, the constitutional nature of the jiva is such that ananda, but anuchit, very finite. So on our own, we really can't get up and running, can't get up and start running. We're too weak and Maya is too powerful. So therefore, when we say that everything, that it all comes from Guru and Krishna, well, it basically does. And so the analogy I've heard sometimes saying that we have a seed. We have a seed, just say this analogy, a seed. And so if we just have that seed with us and move around here and there, then nothing ever comes of it. But if someone takes that seed and he provides a favorable setting or environment by giving us some soil to put the seed in and giving us some water and moisture to soften the seed coat, and then the seed sprouts, and then providing some light and air, and then so that the photosynthesis starts enacting and the leaves start growing, then I will get some fruit and actual result out of that seed. So Guru and Krishna and Guru, which is actually one, they're both, by their giving us transcendental knowledge, guidance, mercy, teachings, and without them, we would never get the facility or facility or ability to actually manifest our potentiality, because our potentiality is so minute. So to manifest the full expression, because practically you can say, okay, we're just existing. We are, in one sense, we're just existing in ignorance. We're existing in ignorance and in misery. So we don't see any, we don't have any perception of, we don't have any knowledge, valuable transcendental knowledge on our own. And we don't have any experience of transcendental bliss on our own. We just kind of exist in a miserable state of ignorance. So we know we exist, and this is kind of the argument he's saying. But what we're saying is that we exist, but because we have that foundation, part of our foundation or part of our svabhava, our nature, is to serve and to be aware, because we have the ability to receive the knowledge and the ability to be blissful. So Guru and Krishna, contacting Guru and Krishna, as he said, awakens that or fulfills that aspect of ourself and brings us to full realization of the other two features of ourself, which are right now subjugated and conquered and covered by the heavy influence of ignorance. But ignorance has not so much influenced us that we cease to exist. But the Buddhists, and they get so much influenced by a philosophy of ignorance that they want to annihilate even the sat feature. They want to annihilate their very individual. They say all we are is eternality, and we want to merge in the eternality and even eliminate our identity of existence. I exist, therefore I am. I exist, therefore I am. So the Buddhists say, I'm sat, but because I'm existing, this existing is causing me problems, so let me give up this existence, annihilate my existence, called shunyavada. So then, there's no question of chit for them. There's no question of chit or ananda. So we're, in one sense, we're almost like, we're like Buddhists in a material world, because our real spiritual happiness and our spiritual cognition or ananda feature, or happiness, knowledge and spiritual bliss are kind of non-perceivable. But we know we exist. But our Acharya is saying, it's there, you have a chit feature, and you have an ananda feature. And because of that, Guru and Krishna, they can surcharge that with their vivu chaitanya, vivu chit and their vivu ananda, by importing to our soul the Swarup Shakti. And Swarup Shakti is nothing but bhakti. So we kind of charge, like you have a battery that goes dead. You have a car battery that goes dead. It has the ability to hold a charge, but then you hook it onto a battery charger and put some water in the battery, then that charge goes into your battery, then it gets power. And then you take off the charger and it shows its own power. So this battery charger is bhakti shakti. And the bhakti, what is bhakti? Bhakti is a combination of sanvit, which means chit, or knowledge, and ananda, and bliss, which means ladini, or ananda. So that Guru gives that Swarup Shakti in the form of his teaching, his mercy, and the Parishads, eternal associates, give Swarup Shakti in terms of their teaching and mercy, and Radharani, Lita, etc. And they hold onto the battery, the Atma, and they charge up our Anand feature, which is so minute, and they charge up our Chit feature. Then that gets charged up, and then we actually receive that Swarup Shakti, and by the mixture of that Swarup Shakti, by the contact with that Swarup Shakti, then we get full realization of Godhead in ourselves, and we taste the bliss of Bhakti Ras. And this is what happens in Bhava Bhakti, at the level of Bhava Bhakti.
Now, the first contact I had with this understanding was in the form that Guru and Krishna only. There is no other way to receive it, and from that, it was stated that bhakti is not inherent in the jiva. Mm. So one line of research would be, from me, to find out what this only means. What is the term?
Yeah, because this way, the same speaker later, he mentions how the jiva, and another discussions in the Bhagavatam classes, he's saying how the jiva has the ability to receive knowledge and the ability to feel, and because his students are arguing, well, if we're just sat, then sat has no feelings, has no knowledge, can never have any.